What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Tyler, in for Linz today. What do you got?
Hey, so I got Freddie Freeman playing for Team Canada in the World Baseball Classic. So a lot of people are wondering why. Why is Freddie Freeman, a SoCal native, playing for Canada in the World Baseball Classic? Well, it's a tribute to his mother. So his mother passed away when he was younger, and he's always played the game of baseball in an attempt to remember her, and he's always done things to kind of memorialize her in his gameplay. So after keeping years of private mementos to remember her, he wears a cross around his neck. He got the initials RJF, which stands for Rosemary Joy Freeman, stitched inside his mitt. He started thinking of a more prominent way that his mom could be memorialized, and he said, pretty much everything I do is trying to make her proud, which is why he chose to represent Team Canada in the 2017 World Baseball Classic, and will do so again next week when the event returns to Chase Field in Phoenix, which I guess is this week.
Quick question. Was Freddie Freeman able to, if he wanted to, play on Team USA?
Why not?
Well, I'm asking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a SoCal native. He's born and raised here.
No. What I'm asking is, was he invited to play on Team USA?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because here's the thing about the World Baseball Classic, and everybody, give me what you think about this. I wonder why, like a guy like Trace Thompson, he played for Great Britain because, you know, Michael's from the Bahamas.
Right.
So that's the relationship that allows Trace to go play.
Yeah.
So my question is, why does a Trace Thompson want to go play for Great Britain? Why does a Jock Peterson want to go play for Team Israel?
Well, I mean, my guess is Trace Thompson isn't getting on the USA team.
Well, that's right. But this is my question. Is the World Baseball Classic something that is so prestigious that if you can't play for Team USA, you'll do whatever it takes to play in the classic?
Yeah, it's a fun event.
So if I could play for Team Israel, I would. If you could play for Team Canada, you might. But I'm just surprised how many American baseball players want to play in this when it's not Team USA.
I think to answer your question, I think that he would have ultimately been able to play for the Dodgers for Team USA, thank you, if he wanted to. But his decision to play for Canada is why he probably had an open door either way.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Mm. Enough of that. That's what you need to know. But I didn't know that, so thank you, Tyler. What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Now more good times with Kirk Morrison, who joins us here in a big spot, lots of NFL chatter. All right, let's go with what we were just talking about. Jalen Ramsey for a third rounder and Hunter Logan, the tight end.
Nobody knows, George.
It doesn't matter.
Not even he knows.
Yeah. You traded two firsts for him. I know you're in cap hell, but was this really a prudent move on their behalf, Kirk?
Yeah, I mean, it was a move where they felt that this is a shift in the Sean McVay era. I mean, they went and really got after the defensive side. And the first, you know, years under McVay, they went out and got the Dante Fowlers, the Ndamukong Suhs of the world, right? They went out and got the Jalen Ramseys and the Bobby Wagners and all that. And so now at some point you got to pay the piper. And so the Rams were not going to get two first-round picks for Jalen Ramsey. They wanted to get anything they could, but more importantly, they wanted to get rid of that contract. They're trying to get their salary cap in order, but also have some money to make some of these splash moves that we're seeing some of these teams do around the National Football League right now. So I'm not surprised at what the compensation that the Rams got. I just know that at the end of the day, you really have to look at this team went all in 2 years ago on winning a Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl, and now it's starting to get things back in order on building up and trying to win another championship. And last year, just it hit rock bottom. And this is one of the reasons when you hit rock bottom, you got to do drastic things and take drastic measures.
Yeah, drastic things. Cut Bobby Wagner. That was a one-year deal. Trade Jalen Ramsey. Right. Only get a third-round pick. Which, by the way, George, just to go back to the financial side of it is, hey, we don't want two first-round picks because then we got to pay two first-round picks. We'll just take a third-round pick. Seriously, we'll clear his salary and then we'll have a third-round pick. Release Leonard Floyd, trying to get rid of Allen Robinson because he was no good. I mean, this is total, total rebuild. Kirk, do you think that Sean McVay is built for this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think he's built for this. I mean, this is the reason why he came back. This is the challenge of a head coach of showing, hey, I know how to get this thing back in order. I arrived here to a team that was 4-12, and in my first year, I took them to the playoffs. My second year, I took them to a trip to the Super Bowl. I won the Super Bowl within my first five seasons. So a lot for Sean McVay is exciting this year because – this is a brand new team. This isn't a team with high expectations of winning a Super Bowl or getting back. The expectation right now, you just want to see good football. So but how is he going to build it, and will it be something of a model of success? We're looking at the San Francisco 49ers and how they've been competitive each and every year, but they haven't won a Super Bowl, right? Zach Taylor, same thing, another one of Sean McVay's disciples. Went to the Super Bowl with the Bengals. They have what we think is competitive balance year in and year out with what they've been able to put out there. But at the same time, no one has won a Super Bowl, and I think that's what Sean McVay is hanging his hat on. I did it once. I want to do it again.
Well, and the reality is that they need to get him some offensive weapons, right? Like, I feel like this this team was bereft of offense at times last year. They were over-reliant on Cooper Kupp. They need to get back to being able to kind of spread the ball around, all the eye candy, all the fun stuff that made them what made them, basically, those first several years.
George, honestly, no one fears me on the Rams offense currently. Only person that does is Cooper Kupp. But when you know that there was nobody else besides Cooper Kupp, I think teams went in knowing, hey, if we stop that guy, you know, Cooper Kupp, number 10, we stop him, we'll be fine. Or even we'll let you get Cooper Kupp. He can have 18 million catches and however many yards, but let's limit him in getting in the end zone, and let's make somebody else beat us. Allen Robinson was not that guy.
Nope.
Look, the tight end was able to do some things later on down the stretch in Tyler Higbee. But, you know, Van Jefferson, remember, he missed the early part of the season. You had the Cam Akers situation early on. This team was just – they just didn't have it offensively. And then when you think about the injuries to the offensive line.
That's
and,
right.
You know, they led the NFL, guys, in week one starters who missed the most amount of games for regular season.
Yep.
They led the NFL with that. So that just kind of shows you that they need to get healthy, number one. But more than that, I think they can put it back together just because the health of the team will be a lot better than it was a year ago.
Kirk Morrison hanging out with us here. Let's talk about the squad you played for, the Raiders! Jimmy G. So Cappy and I believe Jimmy G's the quarterback for now, that they're going to draft somebody, and that he is what he's been since he's been in San Francisco, a placeholder for someone else. What do you think?
Well, his career has been a placeholder, right?
Yeah.
I feel like when he first got to New England with Josh McDaniels as his offensive coordinator, he was just a placeholder. He was the quarterback that was going to be behind Brady and eventually gets a deal to go somewhere and start. And then after that, you move on from him. But in San Francisco, when they changed his role last year, that demotion last year or to start last season for Trey Lance to be the starter in San Francisco – that was sort of the writing on the wall for Jimmy G. Like, this is who you are now in the NFL. You're a backup quarterback, but you're a fringe starter. Now, he did play well last year, but I can't wait for the terms of this contract to come out. Yes, I look at the big numbers, and everyone's like, wow, 3 years and, what is it, $67-some-odd million dollars and $34 million guaranteed. I said, it's all fine and dandy, but when we look and really break down this contract, what is the true guaranteed value of the contract? I know that right now Jimmy G can help the team win, but I don't think he's part of the future plans of the Raiders. I think this is all about drafting a quarterback at 7 and maybe even trading up to get the quarterback of your liking. So this is all a placeholder, something that can hold the team over that, hey, we still going to compete. We're going to win, but we want to groom the next quarterback of our future.
Yeah, and Kirk, without knowing all the intimate details of the contract, when you hear $34 million of guaranteed money, you say, okay, well, Daniel Jones just got $40-plus million from the Giants. So this is less than what a starting quarterback in the NFL generally makes. So even if it only turns into a one-year deal, they kind of got a bargain for a starting quarterback. Assuming, by the way, he can stay healthy, and that's the question.
Correct, yeah. I mean, remember, Derek Carr was owed $40.9 million by the Raiders. So if they kept Derek Carr, he would have been a $41 million quarterback. They're getting I think the contract ultimately is going to be – it's going to come out to, I think, 2 years, $34 million, we know, which will be guaranteed, and you get a couple extra incentives. I think the third year is just more for salary cap purposes. The Raider fans are up in arms, and how can we get Jimmy G? What is, trust me, if there is any quarterback in the National Football League right now that I trust – who can be the bridge for a younger quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo proved that last year. He didn't have any time to practice. Remember, they made him practice on the little kids field. Remember that? On the JV field in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And yet he still, the offense got better while he was there until he got injured. And then obviously Brock Purdy made history being Mr. Irrelevant who turned relevant.
Bigger deal. Hargraves going to the Niners from Philly or Austin Ekeler asking out of the Chargers?
Oh, Austin Eckler for sure. That's way bigger. I mean, Hargrave is going to get his money regardless. And San Francisco, I still don't know how they're going to pay Nick Bosa at some point. Remember, he's the reigning defensive player of the year, and they're paying all these other defensive guys. So I can only imagine what his contract will look like. But Austin Eckler, fellas, come on now. He is a running back who, trust me, I believe in, a guy who is a touchdown machine, not only on the ground but also through the air. Right? He's been the check down. He's been the safety valve, the safety net for Justin Herbert in his first 3 years in the National Football League. And I think all this comes down to is Austin Eckler says, look, I've got 1 year left on my contract. Can we do a deal? They're saying, well, we don't want to do a deal. Okay, well, then trade me.
Yeah.
That's how you feel. Let me go somewhere. Let me go find somewhere where people value who I am as a player and what I can do for the young quarterback. I don't like this right now between the Chargers and Eckler.
Well, you know, but you know what it is, Kirk? It's disrespect. It's disrespect.
It is.
When you're an undrafted free agent from a small school that replaced Melvin Gordon, who was a first-round pick and a Heisman Trophy finalist and all these other things, and you were cheap at $6 million a year, there's no respect. Kirk, before you go, though, we're all going to pick who we're rooting for in the NCAA tournament. We had a whole UCLA thing earlier today. You want to hype your Aztecs here today or what?
Yeah, I got to hype my Aztecs. A 5-seed playing College of Charleston on Thursday at noon. So obviously I'll be watching that game. But I think this is a year that my Aztecs get down. I'm thinking that we can get at least to the Elite Eight. I mean, I honestly believe that this is one of our years. And trust me, we have a team that is older than I think all the guys that played in that Rising Stars competition in the NBA draft. We got like 8-7 year seniors on the team. So we better get deep into the draft. I mean, get deep into the tournament. So I'm going all in on my experience Aztecs, at least getting to the Elite Eight. So if people haven't filled out their brackets yet, think of me, think of the San Diego State Aztecs in winning their regular season and conference tournament. One of those scary teams in a tournament that will sneak up on you and get to the Elite Eight.
All right, man. Appreciate the time as always, Kirk. Thanks, bro.
Cappy, George, always a pleasure, fellas.
Yeah, we'll see you Saturday, sucker.
Oh, yeah, I got to go to the chiropractor, matter of fact. All right, good.
Got to get adjusted. See, you reminded him. Good
get ready,
job,
pal. Yeah. Get ready, because me and Sedano want a piece of you two guys.
There you go. All right. I heard your partner has a back injury. Is that true?
Like I said, we will see you guys on Saturday. I can't release our injury condition
HIPAA laws.
At the moment.
Yo,
yeah,
HIPAA laws.
HIPAA,
okay.
HIPAA problems,
all right, no
yeah.
problem.
Yeah.
All right, Kirk. All right, we got you. There he is, Kirk Morrison.
We're going to take those two guys down big time, George.
I mean, I don't know if we're going to play them, but, you know.
Well, you know that there's word that if we get knocked out and they get knocked out.
That we'll play like an exhibition?
There's a mano-a-mano.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, the Lakers went mano-a-mano yesterday, and they ran into manos de piedras is what they ran into yesterday. So let's get into that, the aftermath, what happened now, where they are, what the hell they got to do to get out of this and climb their way back in the damn play. They were there for like 3 days, max. It's like, can't even, like, good things can't just keep happening to them. All right, we'll get to that next.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You know what it takes for me, George, to not snap my fingers?
And not get jiggy with it?
To not move my hips? To not sing this song? You know how hard it is for me?
I don't know. How hard is it?
Very hard. Very hard. Because I love this song. Or past tense, loved. Used to love this song. Used to love Will Smith.
Na 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 na. Getting jiggy with it. It's a good song.
1 year ago, I stopped getting jiggy.
Yeah, you did.
Isn't it funny how last year the Oscars were such a big deal because of the slap? And I know you were doing the broadcast yesterday of the Lakers
game. And Denzel wasn't there. He was there with us.
Oh, he was at the game yesterday.
Yeah, he was there with Spike.
Yeah.
Him and Spike, they skipped the Oscars. Although the Oscars did big numbers on TV yesterday.
It's so funny because I swear to you, last year, for some reason, I got all up in it and didn't see any of the movies. This year, I saw a bunch of the movies and didn't watch 1 minute of it last night. Not 1 second.
Yeah, because you were at, CappyCast Fest.
No, it wasn't CappyCast Fest. It was the Roth Conference.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So a lot of people.
Like Hyman Roth? Like in The Godfather?
No, not different Roth. Different Roth. Yeah, different Roth.
Okay.
But yeah.
Like Roth IRA?
Again, slightly different Roth.
Oh, okay.
But Roth Capital Partners of Newport Beach. And man, did they put on some show last night. Although, ironically, I know you want to talk about the Lakers.
Yeah.
I asked them, I said, hey, who's the entertainment on Sunday night? Because they always have like an A-list act. I've seen Snoop Dogg there. I've seen Migos there. one year I saw the Pussycat Dolls. I mean, they only had one song, so they just kept playing it over and over again, you know?
Yeah.
But I said, hey, who's the act on Sunday night? They go, well, we don't really want to say. We're trying to keep it under wraps, but he's famous for a pink guitar. So I Google pink guitar, and I come up with some like country music guy. Who I've never heard of. And I'm like, gosh, they're doing country music? And then I get there last night, and everybody's wearing these T-shirts that say Machine Gun Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep calling the guy Shotgun Kelly because I don't know the difference, you know? And Machine Gun Kelly performed last night, and I was like, then not one song I knew other than when he covered Tom Petty's Free Fallin'.
Right.
You know a lot of Shotgun Kelly's stuff?
I know some of his work, yeah. I remember he almost got into it with Conor McGregor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, somebody told me today that Eminem crushed him. I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, Eminem and him are not cool.
And then when I asked my daughter last night,
and he's like, Megan Fox, he was engaged to her. I don't know if he's still
is. So I asked my daughter, I said, you know Machine Gun Kelly? She goes, yeah, I don't like him. I said, why not? She said, he cheated on Megan Fox.
There you go.
I said, how do you know? I guess everybody knows.
Yeah.
I didn't. I couldn't tell the difference between Machine Gun or Shotgun.
Boys.
Oh, the Island Boys. I know those guys. Did you look at the video I sent you on Twitter?
I have not. No.
You got to go watch it. These two idiots are sitting in the hot tub, just sitting there trying to freestyle with each other. And the only thing they say is, I'm an island by an island. Somebody's going to win today a $500, or not today, but somebody's going to win this $500 Islands gift card.
Somebody's going to win $50 for sure, though, today.
And you're going to be an island by.
Yeah. Thanks to Islands.
That's right.
That's going to happen at 5:30. So like 10 minutes from now, basically.
Pop a shot.
All right. Let's get to the Lakers real quick. So, the godforsaking Lakers. We talked about this with Slee the other day when they were going to play Toronto. We were like, hey, man, if they win, they could finally be in the play-in. They hadn't been in the play-in all year. They also, do you want to know when the last time they were 500 was?
A couple years ago?
Well, not that far. But
oh, okay. All right.
January 27th, 2022.
Okay, so that my point was going to be it's not this year, not this season. Because they started the season 2-10, and they've not really been 500 since.
Correct.
Well, they never were.
January 27, 2022 was the last time they were 500.
Okay, so it's 14 months ago.
That's insane.
It's incredible.
Like, they're the Los Angeles Lakers.
Ridiculous.
How does that happen? Seriously.
How does that happen? Well, I mean, I guess the way it happened, if we're really going to try and rehash the whole thing.
I mean, we
is,
don't actually have to.
Okay, I wanted to make sure because, I mean, I could actually describe it to you.
Yeah.
You know, how that happened.
By the way,
and why that's happened.
I do, and I mean this sincerely, okay?
You mean this with sincerity?
Yeah. I love Laker fans on social media because they are either the highest of highs or the lowest of lows. Like, there is no in between when it comes to the emotional roller coaster that it is to be a Lakers fan on Twitter or Instagram or wherever. Because it's like when they were winning, when they won those three games in a row, it was like, yo, watch out for us. What's up? We coming. Nobody want to play us. Here we go. Title town. Here we are. And then they lose to the Knicks, and it's just like, oh, we stink. Everybody stinks. He stinks. AD stinks. Ham stinks. They all stink. I don't know what the hell we're even doing here. Like, it's literally like the most bipolar thing I've ever seen. I love every second of it because I just think it's hilarious to consume.
Yeah, well, just like the fans themselves who are living this roller coaster ride, how about the media? How about last Friday we were playing sound bites of Kendrick Perkins? Oh, they got everything. They got shooters. They got length. They got speed. They got guys who can play, you know, close to the rim. They got guys who play above their... I mean, Kendrick Perkins went from they're the worst team in basketball and they're punishing LeBron James to they got it all.
I mean, they did go from that. Like, when you look at just the roster, they just put, like, competent people out there.
All I'm trying to say to you is,
yeah,
is that while the fans are riding the roller coaster,
yeah,
the fans are in some ways partly influenced by the roller coaster of the media?
No, I don't. I don't think so. No, I don't. I don't. I think that, yeah, I think that people, like some people, like casual people, the people I'm talking about, like on Twitter for the most part, that are living and dying with every basket with this team, they don't care what Kendrick Perkins, you, me, or anyone for that matter says.
Well, I know they don't care about what you say because you're the guy that showed up on yesterday after telling everybody on Friday that every time you call a Laker game, they win.
They had been undefeated.
Then you showed up yesterday, and what happened?
I mean, they finally had to lose. It was a law of averages.
Oh, all right. Well, look, all I'm saying is this. That while the fans are living the roller coaster, the media is stirring the roller coaster as well. You know, the media was like, they're the worst, they're terrible, they're not going anywhere, etc. To now all of a sudden, they're the best, they're great. I mean, there was a point at the beginning of yesterday's telecast, it was Jeff Van Gundy on the broadcast, wasn't it?
Yeah, Mike Breen and Jeff Van Gundy, yeah.
Okay, Van Gundy says, I mean right at the tip of the game, he says, give Rob Pelinka credit because of the monumental amounts of credit he deserves for the overhaul and for saving the Lakers season.
He did?
Yes, but what saved it to what? As of right now, it's not saved yet.
Right, but they had no chance, okay, with the previous roster is his point. And now they at least have a real shot.
Okay, well, I mean, saving the season... When they make it,
do you want to know why
they're
in the, even with their loss yesterday? Do you want to know why they're in the problem they're in?
Which problem is that?
Which is they're the 11th seed today because they're in a 4-way tie for 9th.
Okay, tell me.
Do you know why? Because the team that he's talking about that was going nowhere, which is why you got to give Rob credit for making a team now that can go somewhere, put them in this hole with these tiebreakers.
Well, I mean, the roster that started the Lakers season
disaster.
Put them in the hole when they went 2-10.
Right, but the whole season too, though. Like, I mean,
I'm not denying that. I'm just saying that it was so bad.
Let me tell you something. You want to know what someone at the Lakers told me yesterday?
Oh, insider info. Yeah.
When I just kind of like we were talking about like you know kind of like what's different, right? Like then other than the obvious, like the stuff on the floor, right? And it was just like there's no more individuality. And this, by the way, was not just directed at Russell Westbrook. So I want to make that very clear. Okay.
Who else was it directed at?
I'm just stating that because I want to make sure that's clear. Okay.
Well, I'm just trying to think.
You
of who
figure
else
it
was
out.
Shipped out.
You figure it out.
I'm just trying to remember.
But what I'm saying
remember.
Is no more. It wasn't. It's no more about individuality. The guys are pulling in the same direction. Everyone wants everyone to succeed.
Yeah. You
want
to know why? Because the guys that were brought in via trade were all like, oh my God, this is awesome. I get to go play for the Lakers, and I get to go play with LeBron and AD, whereas we all know that Russell Westbrook never understood his role on this team, on this roster, and in particular in this locker room. Never was going to embrace the role, tried to be a decent teammate. There was a couple of weeks there where you're like, hey, you know what? He's playing pretty well. He's coming off the bench. He's picking guys up off the floor. He's cheering for his teammates. Russell Westbrook never wanted to be that guy. So whoever told you that yesterday, that it wasn't just him, we can all figure out who else was traded away, but it was all him.
No, it was not. I'm legitimately telling you that that is exactly what they were saying. That, yes, like, that the guys who were not here anymore, there was everybody had different agendas, right? Like,
so Patrick Beverley was another guy. Who else? Just remind me of who else has been gone.
You can figure it out.
Well, why? Why?
Just, Google.
Well, what does it matter?
Google.
Come on, really?
Google.
I mean, once these guys leave, they're done in my world. I don't pay attention to these guys anymore. I know
Russ.
I know
Google.
Pat Bev. What are you giving away some industry secret by saying other guys' names?
I'm just saying.
Trying to remember who the center was that was shipped out, and they said that he was really close with Russ. And they got rid of him, too.
Thomas Bryant.
Oh, there you go. Thomas Bryant. Yeah.
I don't think they were referring to him, to be honest with you. But
oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't get that.
So Pat Bev and Russ. Those two guys, bad guys.
I didn't get that sense. Why are you throwing in bad guys? Who said bad guys?
It's my interpretation, pal.
But see, you say those things and this stuff gets attached to me.
Well, we're on the air together.
But you said it, not me.
Hey, I want everybody to know I said it. Bad guys.
No, they're not bad guys.
Not good teammates.
Just didn't fit the what they needed.
Well, no, they were selfish.
There was more individual agendas.
Okay, that's
selfish. Is what I was told.
That's called selfish.
Okay, you could that's your interpretation.
We see things very differently in this world.
Clearly.
I think I see it right.
Coming up next, perhaps. Coming up next, we're going to give away a chance to be
an island boy.
Or
an island girl.
Courtesy of our friends from islands. And we're going to play Radio Tinder next. You called him Producer Taylor earlier.
Called me Producer Taylor.
And then called him Producer Tyler
and then
after.
Fixed it. Yeah. Said Producer Tyler. Yeah. All right, I'll forgive you this one time, Chris. So acting legend Morgan Freeman was recently seen sporting.
Are we doing Radio Tinder already?
Are we jumping in?
Oh, he just jumped right in.
Are we not
Taylor,
doing
Tyler.
This island boy, island girl?
He's an thing? Island guy.
Yeah. Thought we were doing that first.
I think we maybe are. Laura's getting some details real quick, so I was going to jump in and then like maybe do a little in between.
Okay, so, all right, cool. All right, go ahead. Take it away, Tyler.
Taylor.
Acting legend Morgan Freeman was recently seen sporting long dreadlocks, a look that's different from his usual short-length afro. Many people are familiar
we
with.
We need the music, too.
We need the tunes?
Yeah.
Oh. She's an island boy.
She's a little wrapped up
yeah,
right
different.
Now.
Yeah, different. I know. She's taking calls, too. It's a lot going on.
Cappy, can you give me some music?
Team got smoked. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
right. Keep it going, Cappy. So last night at the Oscars, Freeman came alongside Margot Robbie. They came out together to celebrate 100 years of Warner Brothers. And Morgan Freeman was bald. Like, fully bald.
Okay.
So, how are we feeling? Are we shipping Freeman's latest look, or are we in hopes that the fro makes a comeback? Swipe left or swipe right? Sedano.
I mean, I feel like, Morgan Freeman is a grown-ass man and can do whatever the hell he wants. If he wants to, grow his hair out, or he wants to go shave it, like, that's all good. Like,
nope.
I'm swiping right on whatever Morgan wants to do.
I'm just looking at the pictures right now. And I, too, really do like the Morgan Freeman fro. But I'll tell you right now, he's got a nice head. He got a nice melon. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're going to look at somebody's head, cabeza, I mean, why not? I mean, like, I could never shave my head because I got all these little weird, like, cowlicks on my head.
I've never done it, so I wouldn't know what it looks like.
Yeah, I've never done it either, but I just can feel them in my scalp. Hmm. I think Morgan Freeman looks pretty good. What's he doing? He's got a glove on his left hand. What, anybody know the story on that?
Yeah, so evidently he's got some sort of circulation problem
with
his
no.
hand. So it's a compression glove.
Oh.
That's
okay,
why
he
wears it.
I'm glad he's
treating
it. Dude,
he's 85.
He's killing it. I honestly think the bald head looks great.
I do too.
I think he can rock it. So
he looks sharp.
I'm with Cappy on this, and I care, Sedano. So, yeah, he looks good with a bald head. All right, so you want to jump to another one?
Boy, he's got a good-looking mustache, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Go to the next one.
Okay. So, last week we talked about Snoop Dogg and how bringing back the Death Row catalog to Spotify and Apple Music after previously pulling them, making it a big deal, and I referenced Taco Bell doing it with the Mexican pizza. Well, Taco Bell's back at it again. They're getting rid of a fan favorite, the Quesarito, and they're making room for the double-staked grilled cheese burrito and the Bacon Club Chalupa. The Quesarito is going to retire on April 19th. So, do we think, and this is a question that I asked you last week and we kind of just passed over it, so I thought I would bring it up again. Do we think that companies intentionally retire fan favorite items just to eventually bring them back? Swipe left
yeah.
or swipe right?
Swipe right. I would say that, and I'm reading this headline, Taco Bell fans are outraged by the Quesarito leaving the menu. I've never had a Quesarito. I don't know if it's any good. I also am not like the biggest Taco Bell person, so there's that part of the equation.
Are you a Del Taco guy?
I prefer Del Taco, yes.
Usually it's like mushrooms and olives, right? You've heard about that theory?
No.
No.
Oh, typically in a couple, there's a person that likes mushrooms and a person that likes olives.
Interesting. Okay. In my relationship, I like mushrooms and olives, and my girlfriend despises both.
Okay, so you both check the boxes.
I can't remember the last time I was at a Taco Bell, honestly. So is it like a whole subculture of people that really love Taco Bell and then get all bent out of shape when they change out the menu? Is that what happens?
Big time.
Yeah, but by the way, this is no different than like the McRib and all that stuff. They'll bring it back. People will get all excited and that's
Well, and that's the thing about the McRib is that it's an annual expectation. McDonald's always says, you know, it's going to ultimately end up coming back at the end of the year, typically around like Black Friday, Christmas time, the McRib is back. But with Taco Bell, they keep saying, oh, they're gone. And then they ultimately make a comeback.
Right. The Mexican pizza.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the example. Yeah.
I also did not realize that you're either on Team Taco Bell or you're on Team Del Taco. That I did not know. I'm new to Team Del Taco.
Yeah.
And I'm now partial to Team Del Taco.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Excellent.
All right. Fantastic.
All right. What's
I didn't
next?
Know you were on one or the other.
Well, typically, again, I don't favor one or the other. I'm game for both. But usually... My experience, I encounter somebody that either likes one or the other.
Yeah.
Got it.
By the way, Cappy, Joe tweets in the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust, Cappy laughs like Marge Simpson. I mean, you do sometimes Very laugh nice. Like Marge Simpson.
Is that Marge Simpson like? Because you remember, I've never seen The Simpsons.
Yeah, it is.
I didn't know that.
Now you know.
All right,
what's
next? You need to know.
Tyler.
So a small,
knowing is half the battle.
That's right. Knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe.
Very nice.
Yeah.
A small white laptop or laptop. Lap dog.
Oh. Not a small white laptop,
but a small white lap dog in Juniper Beach was seen running around without its owner, and when lifeguards tried to corner it, it took off into the ocean and began swimming out to sea. Just took off.
Oh, no.
So one lifeguard threw on a wetsuit, grabbed his board and buoy, and set out in the ocean to rescue it, and ultimately was able to bring it back in. Now they're looking for the dog's owner. But my question to you two is this. If you see a dog take off into the ocean or you see a dog on the highway, are you going to be one to pull over or swim out to get it?
Okay, so I haven't seen in the ocean or the highway, but I have seen like a dog in like a neighborhood, right?
Right.
Like,
did you rescue it?
And I have done that a couple of times, yes.
Okay, so you're swiping right on this. You're
going to
be
arrested. Yes, I'm swiping right. I put the dog one time in my yard, and he had like a little... twice this has happened to me. So they both times, luckily they had, the little collars, right? They got the collars with the thing that says the owner, the little tag or whatever.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then I called. One of the times they picked up the phone. I told them, hey, your dog's here if you want to come here and get it. They lived, you know, maybe like half a mile away. And then the next time, they lived probably like 5 or 6 blocks away. I called, they didn't pick up. So I literally just drove over there. I left the dog in my yard with my wife. And I said, hey, watch the dog. And then I went to the lady's house. I knocked on the door. I said, hey, your dog is missing. She's like, yes. I'm like, it's at my house. You want to come get him? Follow me. Let's go.
Nice. So I actually had that happen with my dog. My dog ran away and somebody rescued it and gave me a call. What about you, Cappy?
That's what you're supposed to do.
I love the way George says it. Hey. You watch the dog. I'm going around the corner. Then when he gets there, hey, I got your dog. I like the way you said that, George.
I mean, that's kind of the way it really went down, to be honest with you.
So let me just say something about this. If a dog is going to swim into the ocean and go swimming out into the ocean, that dog's on his own. In fact, so much so that the lifeguard went and put on a wetsuit. I mean, if you're really worried about the dog, like, that'll kind of take some time to put on a wetsuit. And then get your board and then paddle out. So it sounds like the lifeguard kind of took his time. And by the way,
I don't think the dog is like swimming like Michael Phelps either. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think you got some time there.
What if it was Michael Phelps' dog and he'd been properly trained?
Probably not, is
okay.
my guess.
Just a thought.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
Yeah.
But I will just say that when it comes to like a freeway and seeing a dog, no, I'm not stopping on the freeway. No chance.
The freeway is a different deal, dude.
No chance.
Like, you know, I mean,
or the ocean. You're going to swim out into the ocean?
I mean, the ocean, I would be
probably
more
not.
Inclined to swim in the ocean than jump onto a freeway.
Dude, I was walking on the beach. This is a couple months back, and there's this giant retaining wall. And I'll bet you it's got to be 75, 80 feet tall. And this guy who had a house up on the bluffs was letting his dog run down in this area. And I was like, what's this dog doing? So now the dog is running on this retaining wall. Mm-hmm. And don't you know,
he fell
in front of my face,
yep.
This dog falls off the cliff.
Yep.
And everybody on the beach is like, oh my God. It was like slow motion. Dog hits the ground. What do you think happened?
Pop right back up.
Just like that. Pop right back up, like as if, hey, I don't want to embarrass myself. I don't want everybody to see that. And the dog went running all over. Now, in the meantime, the people are up on this house. They can't get down fast enough. People were chasing this dog. There must have been 20 of us trying to chase this dog. Nobody could catch the dog.
Sounds like it's probably happened before, is my guess.
I don't know, man. But I'll tell you right now, George, if I fell off that retaining wall, I'd have probably broken like every bone in my body, Evel Knievel style.
You'd be Sedano and Beto right now.
That's right. It would be.
Yeah. That is Tequila, that is Radio Tinder brought to you by Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala, award-winning small batch premium sipping tequila made from the finest mature agaves available everywhere. Fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com. Demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala. Coming up next, Cappy, I want to get into this Austin Eckler thing with you. And I want to get into Aaron Rodgers, because now there's like Trey Wingo all of a sudden is like Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport telling people this Aaron Rodgers thing is done.
Well, I got a little inside info on that too.
Wait, you've got inside info?
Just a little bit.
Wow.
Yep.
Cappy the insider.
I'm an outsider who got some inside information.
The Capsider.
That's right.
All right. We'll do that. Who are our winners, Laura?
All right, here goes, George. I've got the winners right here. Hey, look, it's the
Wow,
Madness.
Laura, you sound different.
Laura, that's would okay. you like? Laura,
no,
feel
no,
free.
No, Cappy,
take it
no,
away.
No, I'm just saying that because it's funny.
No, take, it was funny.
Take it away. Hey, look, both of our winners are going to win a $50 Islands gift card.
Wait, are they going to be?
They're going to be Island Boys. Island Boys.
Are they now, both boys?
Yes, George. Caller 7 was Jose Rodriguez.
And that's you or me?
No, that's you. That's Team Sedano.
Jose Rodriguez.
Right. So, Jose, you got no chance to win at all.
Yeah.
Okay, now, caller 10, yeah. Hugo Gonzalez.
Hugo.
Hugo, you are on Team Cappy here, and that means you got a really good shot of winning a $500 gift card.
Now, how do they win a $500 gift card?
So, we're going to be doing a Papa Shot contest.
Where?
Well, chances are you probably have already done it.
Oh, the thing I videotaped? Oh, if that's I would have right. known that, there was like a competition, I would have like taken it more seriously.
Mm. So Jose Rodriguez, you got Sedano, and Hugo Gonzalez, you got me. And if I win, you got the $500 gift card. If Sedano wins, or if whoever's got Ireland amazing, bottom line is this: $50 to Islands and a chance to win $500 with our big Papa Shot competition, Papa Shot Madness presented by Islands, George.
And then you get to be?
An island by.
Yeah.
An island by.
Do you believe in life after love? Do you know what this reminds me of?
Tell me.
Did you ever watch the show Will and Grace?
Not really.
Funny show.
Familiar with it.
Really funny show. They had a Cher episode, which was hilarious. I didn't watch the show every week, but I watched it enough, and I've seen it in syndication enough, that episode is just out of control good. Like, hilarious. That's what I think of now every time I see or hear Cher. How old is Cher these days? Got to be like in her 80s, right?
She's got to be pushing 80 at least.
No,
at least.
Definitely more than. No, 76? Wow. Cher looks great.
How about that?
So, yeah. This song was super popular. 30 weeks. Do you know how hard it is to stay on the 30 weeks?
Funch just told me that she's dating like a 36-year-old.
Of course she is.
That's amazing. Get
it, dude, girl. I would do that. I'd do
a 36-year-old.
If I were 36 and Cher were 76, I'd be all over it.
I mean, you're 53, right?
Right. I'm too old for her.
Mm. Right. But if she came knocking.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Right.
You answering.
Yeah, I'm into it.
I'd be like, say, Rach, sorry, it's Cher.
She would understand.
I got you, babe.
Yeah, she would understand that. She'd be like, listen, do your thing. Just come home tomorrow. You know, do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that, I hope. I don't know. If not, then I guess it's no me and Cher.
No. Yeah.
76 years old.
All right, so what do you got on Aaron Rodgers, Mr. Insider?
Well, I told you about this weekend. There was a really big charity fantasy, or excuse me, flag football event.
Oh,
happening.
Yeah. Did you go?
I did not.
Oh.
I did not. You know, George, Friday, driving up
wait
to LA.
Wait a second. You teased the entire audience for a week. You were going to this thing that Aaron Rodgers was
going
to be at.
I was planning on going. Oh, I was planning on it. But God. Then, I know, but it's like, it's the same thing like my mother. Like, my mother literally called me and she was like, so, I hear you're going to Orange County to see Aaron Rodgers.
Who said that?
This is my mother.
Oh.
Yeah.
How did she know?
Well, because she heard me talking about it on the radio.
Oh, okay.
So she's like, so, you're going to go up to Orange County to see Aaron Rodgers, huh? And I'm like, yeah, Ma, that's the plan, you know? And then so Saturday she calls me. She goes, are you with Aaron Rodgers right now? Can you take a picture and send it to me? And I'm like, yeah, Ma, I didn't go. She goes, but you've been talking about it on the radio all week that you were going to go see Aaron Rodgers. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know what? It took me like 6.5 hours driving the other day to go from South LA to downtown LA and then from downtown LA back to South LA. I just, the driving, the rain, the traffic, I couldn't do it, man. couldn't get in the car on Saturday and drive. So I didn't go, George. I did not go. However, Aaron Rodgers was at this event this past weekend in Orange County for the Challenge Athletes Foundation, an organization I've been involved with for nearly 20 years. And Brandon Marshall, the former NFL wide receiver, he was there as well. There were a lot of NFL superstars and dignitaries there. And Tyler, check me on this. Do we have the audio of Brandon Marshall asking Aaron Rodgers about what the deal is?
Do we have that? Yes, we do, Cappy. Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Laura's got it.
I also sound very different.
Thank you, Queen.
How was it meeting Woody Johnson? How was that meeting?
Oh, that was you know, it's always interesting meeting important figures in the sport. Yeah, it's always interesting. That's all I'm giving you.
Just there now?
That's all I'm giving you.
Hey, Rod.
A little bit of chemistry here. What we doing, A-Rod?
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned? How long we got to wait?
Well, I think it won't be long. There's a time limit for all this.
All right, George. So last night, I'm at this function I mentioned to you, at this banking conference in Orange County. I'm not a banker, but I've got some friends that are, and they invited me to come. I've been going to this thing for years. Fine. Aaron Rodgers' agent is in Orange County, and he's a pretty famous NFL agent. Got a lot of big-time superstar clients. And I didn't see the agent there last night, but in just kind of talking to some people that were around last night, everybody who's kind of close to the situation, they're like, dude, it's a done deal. The only thing that we're all waiting for is, as you've seen, the Jets are clearing cap space. They've made some moves to free up cap space. I would say this, based on the people that I was talking to and based on knowing who they know, I'm going to take a guess here that we're about 99% of the way there. That Aaron Rodgers is going to the Jets.
Look at you.
And by the way,
you added more information than Wingo did.
Well, and I was going to say that's, I don't really think I'm providing that much information because I think by this time, isn't it already a foregone conclusion that Aaron Rodgers is going to the Jets?
I mean, it seems that way. It seems like Green Bay has kind of torched that path back too, on top of that.
Right. And what did Trey Wingo have to say?
He tweeted some thing.
Saying kind of the same deal, huh?
Yeah, you didn't see the thing?
I saw the thing, but, you know, I was kind of setting you up to say what the thing was.
Oh, okay. I mean, I could say it if you want.
Sure.
He said the thing. The thing was hearing Rodgers to the Jets is done. History about to repeat itself between New York and Green Bay. Time is indeed a flat circle. And then he made me sit there for another 35, 40 minutes at around the horn until we figured out and we talked to Adam Schefter about, like, if it's, like, done or not done.
And what did Schefty say?
Cautiously optimistic that it's heading in the right direction. But that's not enough for us to sit there and retape the whole show.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Because that means it'll happen later in the week and somebody else can do it.
Yeah. I mean, look, again, Aaron Rodgers was in Orange County this past weekend.
Yeah. And Brandon Marshall tried to bait him.
Right. And Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be baited by Brandon Marshall.
Right. I mean, he did it with like a wink, though. It wasn't like he was baiting him for real.
But if you really listen to the end of what Aaron Rodgers is saying, is like, hey, stay tuned. You know, there's some things going on, whatever.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers wants to continue playing. He doesn't want to play in Green Bay anymore.
Right.
Looking for that next challenge.
But going to the Jets is going to be not so fun, I don't think, either. I mean, that's just me, you know.
But you know, dude, you know how it goes with these guys.
Right, but do you, I mean.
Their egos are such that they're like, I can go fix it.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Aaron Rodgers has played for the Packers for how many years now? 15 years, right? 16 years?
Probably more. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, well, he's played for 15. Right? He's been there longer, right? If you were him, would you want to play for a second team at this stage of your life?
I wouldn't have wanted to a couple years ago, but now the relationship has become so toxic between me and the organization.
Right, but isn't that part of it on him? Like
100%.
You know?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. It's part on Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers had the audacity to walk into the Green Bay Packers front office and go, hey, guys, like, I've been in the league for all these years now, and I train with all these guys in the offseason, and I have some really strong opinions about some things that would make us better, and I'd like to express those opinions to you guys. And they went, yeah, go play quarterback. Get out. We don't want to hear from you. You're the quarterback. We're the front office. Coaches coach, players play. We generally manage. So get out. And that pissed him off.
Right.
How dare they not give me an opportunity
to share my opinions?
Listen,
I like having, you know, I think we all like to be to feel like we can be heard, right?
I think that in most jobs, if you have the kind of clout that Aaron Rodgers has, your employers would say, sure.
I mean, you're telling people last week that they're afraid to tell me stuff around here.
They're petrified.
I mean, you would think that I should be more like Aaron Rodgers then.
You are more like Aaron Rodgers.
How am I? I'm not drinking ayahuasca.
Well, not yet.
No, I'm not doing that crap.
What about the dark room you were in for four days?
Induce myself to throw up? What the hell are you talking about?
What about that dark room you lived in for 4 days?
I didn't live in no dark room.
Oh,
I'm like, what did I just tell you? I have SAD, the stuff with the atmosphere. You know, the gray days drive me crazy.
Yeah.
I could never be in a dark room for 4 days. Are you out of your mind?
I couldn't do it either.
Yeah. What did you say, Laura?
Seasonal
whatever disorder. Yeah.
Yeah.
That thing.
Seasonal
SAD.
Something.
I get SAD.
I understand.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
But you have said, and not been bashful about it in the past, that you like to be intentionally difficult.
Oh, I like to be a huge pain in the ass, sure.
That's all I'm saying.
But I would not want to leave. I'd like to be on one team.
Yeah, but don't you
If
think-
I were an athlete,
yeah,
I would rather be Kobe and Derek Jeter. You know what I mean? Like Kobe, Derek Jeter. I mean, look.
Dan Marino.
Right. Yep. Like, I'd like to be John Elway. Right.
Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly. Right. I'd like to be those guys. Yeah. I would want Clayton Kershaw. Right. I would want to be one team forever.
So would I.
If I could, right? I mean, it's always not your choice. But if you're that kind of star player, and not that I'm comparing myself to those guys, but if I were in that position like those guys, I would be, you know what? I'm a big believer in roots, okay?
Roots, and, like the book or the television show?
No, like creating, like planting roots.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Roots, the movie.
Planting roots, gotcha. Okay? And for example, right? You and I grew up in the same neck of the woods, right? Mm-hmm. But you moved out here a long time ago to South LA.
That's right.
Right? And you planted roots. Your kids grew up here. And I spent a couple years in different locations, once in the Northeast for a little while. And then since here, I've been here, I've planted roots. My kids, you know, one of them has been born here. The other one's basically grown up here. She moved here when she was 2.5 years old. You know what I mean? Like, it's what it is. And it's no different. Like, you don't have to be an athlete to understand that. Like, you build roots. Now, I get it when you're a bazillionaire like Aaron Rodgers or these guys. You know, you can live in other places year-round or whatever. But nonetheless, you're still there for a long time of the year. Like, you've built roots. You've built, you know, you've built, like, some sort of base, roots. Foundation.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now, the difference is, you know, in Aaron's case... You know, and I guess Jeter is very similar, but like he doesn't really have, he's living the single life, which is fine. I get it. Like I would do it too if I were an athlete, but I still feel like I'd like to be a one team player and just be like, you know what? I want this community to know how I feel about it, that I put all my blood, sweat and tears and all the equity I had on the field to this particular city. Like right. I would want that.
But not all these athletes... You know, get that opportunity. I mean, think about a guy like Justin Turner, who's now
but he's not that caliber of player.
No, I got it. Yeah. But what I'm getting at is not always your choice. Okay,
100% for sure.
In the case of Aaron Rodgers, he has and they have. I'm not putting it all on Aaron. The front office of the Packers and Aaron Rodgers together, they have destroyed this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Aaron Rodgers being a great quarterback and a Hall of Famer. Probably no different than any coach who goes, you know what, that guy's a problem child, bring him to me, I'll fix him.
Yeah.
Same way Aaron Rodgers probably looks at the Jets and goes, you know what, if I show up with their defense and with some of the young talent they have, I could be the difference maker, and that will, you know, bring us
so
to
basically
championship contention.
He thinks that I've won 11 playoff games in my career, their franchise has only won 12 as a franchise, I can make them into what Brett Favre couldn't do, and everyone else has tried since Joe Namath to do, I can do it at 38 years old.
Yes, you know why? Because here's the comp. Hey, I can go to the Jets and lead them to a Super Bowl the same way Tom Brady went to the Bucs and in year one won a Super Bowl.
Good luck, because AFC is way tougher than the NFC.
Right, but don't you think that like in the mind of
of course, they don't think that. They think they're Superman. Yeah,
right.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. Or maybe an island boy.
The island boys.
Well, no, not in New York. You wouldn't be an island boy there.
No, but think about that. The other part of it. Hey, I played my entire career in Little Green Bay, and it's been fine. But you know what? I'll take the last part of my career in the exciting New York City.
All right. We'll see him in the Village, I'm sure. That's probably where he'll live.
He'll own that town.
If he's good.
If he's good.
If he played like last year, he won't own that town.
Remember when Mark Sanchez had like 3 years where he owned New York City?
Right.
It was more like maybe 2 years.
Yeah. He did. He was doing like underwear commercials and stuff.
Yeah, he's showing up in limos to get out at Saturday Night Live, chicks all over the place. I mean, it was awesome. What a life.
Listen, if I could live it back at that age, I would too.
Yeah. Well, that's what I think Aaron Rodgers is.
What does your mom think, though? You going to send her that sound of Aaron Rodgers or no?
My mother's like, I can't believe you didn't go to Orange County to see Aaron Rodgers.
Well, you could just send her the audio now.
Yeah. I was like, Ma, you know, I say a lot of things on the radio that I intend to do.
Right. Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily mean that I always really actually do them.
I mean, she's your ma. You'd think she'd know.
Right. You would think so.
Yeah.
But she doesn't.
Yeah. Does your ma need a Lomi too?
You know what, George? My Lomi today, I had avocados in there, bananas, coffee grounds, and it was making that weird noise again.
I mean, you're not supposed to put the avocado seed in there, though.
I don't know. I didn't do it. Julia did it.
Oh, it's her now Lomi. You're breaking the damn Lomi.
That's right. It's her Lomi. That Uncle Georgie bought her.
All right. Coming up next, Cappy, as I try to figure out how much of the warranty I got on that Lomi. Coming up next, let's get into the tournament. I want to fill out my bracket. You want to fill out your bracket?
Sure, I would love to.
All right, let's do some of that next.